Welcome to Arbor Bridge Church's weekly podcast with your teacher, Daryl Canty. Arbor Bridge Church exists to bridge the gospel and our community by connecting people to Jesus and each other. Visit us online at arborbridgechurch.com.
So I began this series called Ultimate Marriage by sharing a very, very high view of sex and a very high view of marriage. And the high view of marriage is this, that the meaning of marriage is the glorious display of the covenant-keeping love between Christ and his church. That's the intent of marriage, the meaning of marriage. And our marriages on earth are temporary things that actually point to him. And if you're a Jesus follower, if you've been a Jesus follower for more than 5 minutes, you know that our lives are for his glory, not for ourselves or not. And marriage is another version of that. Our marriage is just a temporary thing that points to our ultimate marriage to Christ. If that's true, then being married or being single are just different ways but of equal value of putting our hope in that ultimate marriage to Christ, or putting our focus on that ultimate, or glorifying Christ in the best way that we can in this life. So, and in order to do that, in order to live that way, I need constant contact with Christ. Like I'm good here, standing in front of you on stage, or I'm good here when we're here for 15 minutes before and 15 minutes after. But like when I get into situations that are challenging, I'm not who I intend to be often, and I need constant contact with Christ and a willingness to submit to him and his word in order to do life well. And we need that to do singleness well, to do marriage well, whatever you've been called to do, we need that. So that brings us to this idea that we've been focusing on for the last couple weeks of submission and headship. So in our relationships, but especially in marriage, God asks us to submit to one another, submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. So wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, be the head of your wife like Christ is the church by giving his life for it. So we talked about how God intended roles in marriage and how religious people often have made this very, very difficult. They've messed it up. So God intends submission to be a gift that's offered, not a right to be demanded. And headship is just another form of submission. It's when you leverage your power and position and glory and status and privilege to enrich another person. So we get these ideas from Ephesians 5 that I've been asking us to read together, and also Philippians 2. And we might look at those later. But like I asked you guys to take a look at Ephesians 5 and to come up with your own thoughts. There are a lot of opinions about what Ephesians 5 means and what should we do with it and how should we live it out. We were talking in our small group this week that whatever Ephesians 5 means, though, it doesn't mean nothing. So what are you to do with Ephesians 5? I wanted to invite us to think together about these things and what they mean. So in just a few minutes, we're going to end the live stream, and I'm going to be inviting you to share thoughts on this topic. During this series, I've wanted you to write down your questions, your disagreements, or your thoughts so that we could learn together. I hope you've done that. If you've got thoughts, then you're welcome to share those. So during this series, I've been inviting you to do that because I wanted you to feel like you can say what you think. I speak every week. If you're here all the time, then you certainly hear me say things you disagree with. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. So some of you guys were here last year when we had our conversation about Roe v. Wade being overturned. You guys did so well expressing your thoughts and allowing for people to not think the same as you. If you weren't here for that, I want to say about our church that they're just amazing people. They're just amazing people who can do things through the power of the Spirit that most people cannot do. I was with a group of preachers recently, and one of the things that he said was, "I've got these Democrats and these Republicans at my church, and the way that we get along is we just avoid it, just pretend like that thing doesn't exist." And I think, what a shame! Oh, what a shame! the friends, the people who are my real friends, I don't have to pretend around them. I don't have to pretend that we don't agree. You know, we agree about everything. So this conversation is far less challenging than that, I hope. But I wanted just to say a few words. I just want to say a few words about how Jesus followers have discussions that are potentially challenging or where they might disagree. So I'm going to use Ephesians 4 to help say a few words about that, and then we'll move on. So listen to this. So I, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That is, to live a life that exhibits godly character, moral courage, personal integrity, and mature behavior, a life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation with all humility, forsaking self-righteousness and gentleness, maintaining self-control with patience, bearing with one another in unselfish love. Make every effort to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace, each individual working together to make the whole successful. There is one body of believers and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when called to salvation, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is sovereign over all and working through all and living in all. Just a gigantic statement for the church to be something better than we would be on our own. And this is far, far, far better than the false peace that we typically have that, you know, yeah, we just won't talk about this. It's far better than that. Let me say a couple words about this. It says, I just want to pause and meditate on what these words are. So first, moral courage. This is the kind of courage that helps us speak the truth in love, even when you'd rather protect yourself and say nothing. So, and what I mean by that is this. Sometimes you know you have a friendship or a relationship where you know you need to say something and you won't. And you don't, and you pretend like you say, well, I don't want to be mean, or I don't want to hurt their feelings. What you're really saying is, I don't want to make myself vulnerable for them getting mad at me, right? Moral courage is being willing to speak the truth in love. And that's hard to do. That's hard to do. Personal integrity, the kind of integrity where we don't pretend that we know everything. Certainly, you've been in conversations where people pretend like they know everything or where they always have to be right. With humility, forsaking self-righteousness. When you think of this question, the first thing you ask when you think of this question is, am I wrong? Could I be wrong? And the answer to that question is yes. Yes, you could be wrong. And so you approach everything like that. Are you open to that? When you assume that you're right and you can't be wrong, that comes out in how you talk to people, right? When we behave that way, we end conversations, we limit relationships. Certainly, you've been in a conversation with somebody and there's things that you want to say and you start to say it and they say something that makes you be like, with all humility, forsaking self-righteousness. With gentleness. Here's what Paul means. So I've shared this example before. You've been around people before, like, who get sunburnt. And like when you're interacting with them, and in, like just the slightest touch when it's like, ah. And so after you know they've been sunburned, if you care about them at all, then you deal with them gently the rest of the day. You're like, okay, can I help you? And just if you're really close to them, you might do the aloe. You're helping them. You are gentle with them. If you've ever been around someone who's been hurt, you deal gently with them. When we are in conversations with people, especially about hard things, we've got to deal gently with one another, because it's possible that the person that you're talking with has wounds around the subject you're discussing. So I was talking with some friends about this just the other day. Somebody asked a question, and when they asked the question, we weren't thinking about the fact that their question had all this background to it, right? When you're in a conversation like that, you bring your words, you bring your tone, but you also bring all your baggage to that conversation. So, knowing that's possible, deal gently with one another. Deal gently with one another. Because you don't know what they're bringing to this conversation. And here's what that means. That doesn't mean you can't say what you think, but sometimes it means that you don't. Because it's not the time. And they won't be able to bear it. But it also means that we're slow to speak. We're super cautious with our words. Like if you were around your kids with like a chainsaw, you'd be cautious. You tell them to get back. It means we deal gently with one another as a priority. So then, with patience, bearing with one another in love, you hold our relationships, despite my dysfunction, despite my immaturity, you bear with me. Despite my lack of knowledge, you bear with me. And the word bear, it has this idea of you're putting up with, it's difficult. You're like, oh, I'm gonna put that thing on my shoulder that Daryl is always that way, but I'm gonna bear it. I'm gonna bear it for him. I bend over backwards. So I make every effort to keep oneness between us. Every effort. That means I apologize. That means I reach out. That means I forgive. That means I let it go. That means I go out of our way, get out of my way to make sure that we're still cool. Sometimes, like in conversations like this, I'll have like a weirdness or tension between me and somebody else. And my responsibility then is to go to that person and say, hey, are we cool? I'm sorry if I hurt you. Not like text it. So finally, let me just say a couple of quick things about the conversation. So first, in this discussion today, we are not trying to fully and finally solve anything. Jesus followers have been talking about this forever. Forever, and they still disagree. There are great Jesus followers on both sides or any side of this particular thing, so we're not trying to fully and finally solve anything. Number two, we're not trying to decide anything today. There's not going to be like a vote at the end. Sometimes when I'm in a situation where we're trying to decide something, I feel like I've got to get all my words in and make sure I say all the things. And like the conversation I got is just a lot of pressure. And so I say that out loud because I'm hoping that would take pressure away, take pressure out of the conversation. Because we're not trying to decide anything, I was hoping that, it would allow us to be more open to hearing thoughts that would be harder for us to hear if we were deciding something. And then, three, so when we have conversations like this, often we think the goal is to win or to prove that we're right. You don't think this but you feel it. Like if you're like me, so when I'm in a conversation like this, I feel like I want to win. Those aren't the goals today. I'd love for your goal for this conversation. Is just I'm not saying what I want to say to change your mind or change anything. We're just trying to think together about what God said and how we can best applied in our lives. Today, the goal is to think together about how we can learn to apply the ideas of submission and headship in our lives and glorify Christ most. I want to pray together and enter the second portion of our time together today. After I pray, thank you. If you've been joining us online, we are super grateful that you chose to do that, and we hope you have a great day. If you'll end that after I pray, then we can go to the next section. Let's pray together. Dear Father, Your kingdom come, your will be done. I pray that you would help us to discern together your will. Your word was given to us not to, we often just try to discern your will from your word on our own. You never intended that. That often in the ancient times, people read your word together and then tried to discern what to do with it. I pray that you would help us do that today and help us in our lives to say, how do you want me to apply this, Lord? And then for us to surrender to your will and do it. Do it to the fullest of our ability by the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on our church, visit us online at arborbridgechurch.com.